Support for WVIK comes from Kathleen Collins at the Dragonfly in Bettendorf. Using both conventional and alternative counseling methods for empowerment to help create change for individuals and couples. More information is at KathleenCollinsCounseling.com.
The closure of Arrowhead Ranch, a place that helped troubled children for several decades. What will it mean as so many teens who needed its services must now look elsewhere? We look into that on The Cities. It's been a home for troubled boys for decades. Arrowhead Ranch in Coal Valley has been a place of last resort for families with kids who face serious difficulties. Sometimes it was drugs and alcohol, trouble with the law, or mental health issues. But last month, Arrowhead Ranch announced that it would close this month. We talked with Arrowhead Ranch Executive Director Dr. Louis Moreno about the decision to shut down and what made the decision unavoidable. Yeah. What happened? I mean, what made it insurmountable that you couldn't keep the doors open?
The cost of running the program. When the law started changing in that the youth who were considered mild or moderate could no longer be placed in a residential program that only left severe kids, Arrowhead Ranch was built and based on a model that could help and turn the lives around for those youth who are considered mild or moderate. With the Federal Family First Act, that meant that only kids that were deemed severe should be placed in a residential facility. So going from a kid who's mild or moderate to only severe, when you have severe kids, along with that comes several mental health issues and severe behavioral issues. Our facility is not built for that. The other portion that hurt us was the ratio. The ratios changed. What part of that is the numbers that we used to have, so that one staff for every four youth while they were awake and one staff for every five youth who were sleeping. That was manageable. With this act, the ratio, you had a tighter ratio. So it went down to 1 to 3 and 1 to 4, respectively. But in reality, because these kids are severe, it was many times 1 to 2, and sometimes it was 1 to 1. So for the number of staff that we had, for the number of youth, that grew our payroll tremendously. So our budget is based on our ratio, as well as some other issues, some other factors that we'd considered, such as Medicaid reimbursement. So when the ratios were thrown off and we would have batches of illnesses, so you're with the kids, staff are getting sick, the kids are getting sick, staff are getting sick, and you start taking out more of my staff, now we call in more staff for overtime. So that was a infinity loop that just we couldn't stop. So our payroll was much higher than what we had budgeted for. The other portion that we had was the Illinois Safety Act, in which they are trying to minimize the number of kids that are being incarcerated as well as be put in the system, which I agree with totally. The unintended consequences of that is that less kids are being placed on probation and less kids are being sent to us because they're trying to get them treatment at home. So when that started drying up, our budget is also based on X amount of contractual youth, as well as non-contractual youth, such as those sent to us from school districts or probation offices. As those started drying up, that also threw our budget into a tailspin. So we've been relying on reserves that we've had, and rather healthy reserves, just to get through. But after COVID, that really did a number on those reserves. So the little amount of reserves we had started going through that rather quickly also. So our saving grace was that we were gonna try and get Medicaid up and running. We've been working on it for a year now. And after about 6 or 7 months, we were told, you just have one more thing you need to do. Now you need one more thing. And we did have a local legislator's office trying to help us here in the last month. And just about 3 weeks ago, we found out that we're not even in the system. apparently there was some type of program upgrade that, or something that they had to switch over on the program. Us and some other programs did not carry over. So everything we submitted was not there. They had information about us prior to my start there 5 years ago. So we're starting this process all over again. That's not enough time for us to start there and start back billing.
Because the reserves were gone, everything was gone. There was no way to keep operating.
The reserve that we have was always that emergency fund that if we ever have to close out, we need to have enough money to pay our last bills, close everything down, and keep the place heated or running until the property is sold or whatever the board decides to do with the property.
With Arrowhead Ranch now shut down, what does it mean for these 16 youth that are there right now?
It's going to be up to each placement agency to decide where they're going to go. For the probation kids that are placed there, it's going to be a little bit easier. The probation officer can decide whether they made enough progress so that they can go home. And those kids are really good. We've had a good run with the probation kids, usually because they know that if they don't behave, the alternative is being incarcerated. The schools that place our kids, they're going to have to find a different alternative school for the kids to go to close to their home. For the DCFS kids, those are the ones that are really bothersome, because Illinois is already short of beds for DCFS youth. And many of these kids are in foster care or have been kicked out of foster care, so they have no place to go. So we have a couple of kids who truly are homeless. So there is no family for them to go back to if they get out of here, because those parents have given up rights to those youth. So these are kids that we have now. And to add on top of that, the therapy that they need, because these are severe kids who have severe issues. Some just have behavioral issues. Some have serious mental health issues. Many of our boys have been abused, whether psychologically, physically, or sexually abused. So that's where Arrowhead has played a major role in getting therapy on an as-needed basis. So we have therapists there 7 days a week, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. during the week, and it's noon to 8 p.m. on the weekends, so that if there's an issue that rises up with the boys while they're in the dorms, they can easily see a therapist right there. So when these kids go back to their community, they'll be lucky they can get in to see a therapist once a month. Our kids are seeing therapists many times, at least twice, three times a week. Some of the boys will talk to therapists multiple times in one day for many days in a row, whatever is needed for those boys, because we create an individualized plan to meet the needs of that youth. So that plan follows them, whether they're at school, at our school there at Arrowhead Academy, or in the afternoon, evenings, weekends, when our behavioral health specialists work with them. We follow their individual plan. There is a specific way to de-escalate Bobby versus Johnny versus Billy. You can't treat them all like a cookie cutter. You can't use the same techniques on all the kids because they have different social emotional issues. So that's what they're going to miss out on. That's what Illinois is going to miss out on.
In a broader picture, as you well know, because you're dealing with this day in and day out, is that mental health care for adults and children, we're being underserved.
Tremendously.
So
that's an understatement.
So walk me through what a loss of an Arrowhead means, because if you're already underserved and you get rid of services such as what you provide, it only seems to be throwing a match on a growing fire.
These are kids that are not going to get the services that they need if they're not placed in another residential facility. So some of these kids, even when they're with us, will refuse medications, and that causes them to have extreme behavior. If they go home and there's no place to put these kids, or even if they have to put them in a foster home and these kids refuse medications, I feel horrible for those who are on the other end, because these kids cannot control their behavior. It's not of their own desire, it's of their mental state.
You were talking about the fact that because of changes in the law, federal, was that you're seeing more serious cases. What is the difference between the more serious cases and the one that Arrowhead was more accustomed to serving?
As mild or moderate, we didn't have youth with mental health issues. We didn't take those boys because they were severe. So we had kids who got in trouble with the law, and probation decides, you know what, you need to learn how to behave in society without this thuggish mentality.
Because traditionally it was thought of, Arrowhead, and correct me if I'm wrong, kind of as a halfway house for kids.
It was an alternative to going to jail, mm-hmm. as well as an alternative to just sending them back to the family so they can keep getting the same type of trouble that they keep
or the neighborhood
into.
Or whatever it was.
Yes. Yeah. Some of these kids are a victim of their neighbors. I used to be a police officer in East Moline. I saw the neighbors that these kids lived in. They had no choice but to join some of these gangs, depending on what neighborhood that you lived in. As part of the FBI Federal Gang Task Force, when I was assigned to that, you saw the neighborhoods, you saw the families, you saw the single parent homes, you saw the latchkey kids. Parents would never be there. Kids were having parties. We're talking high school kids, mm-hmm. Smoking, drinking, because parents are never home. So those are the type of kids that we could still reach with the treatment that we provided, because they just have issues with their attitude, with their behavior, and we could change that. We could help that, I should say.
In your original press release, you were saying that the residential services end. Does anything remain?
We are hopeful, because there is such a need for mental health therapy in the community. We have 5 therapists on staff. We are hoping that we are allowed to find additional funding for that component and create some type of community service where we can use those therapists. We also still have another third contract, and that was the second one from the Department of Juvenile Justice, and that's a day reporting center where kids who do not need to be placed in residential, they just need help getting reacquainted to the community, whether it's laundry skills, cooking skills, how to put a resume together, help getting a job, help find getting a therapist in their own community, because some of these may be in Henry County. And we do also take kids from other counties that we work with, so we drive to them to give them services. So whatever services they need, we help them get that set up. We meet with them once, twice a week to see how things are going. We at least do one face-to-face a week. And sometimes we do multiple times that we contact them over the phone and see how things are going. But we also include the parents as much as they're willing to participate in that.
Because beyond the resident, and correct me if I'm wrong, beyond the residential services, you had the day reporting center program, a resource center, and also a reentry hub for vulnerable youth. Mm-hmm. So there were other services, not just the residential. And is that what you're hoping to perhaps even build on?
Correct.
And then maybe down the road bring back residential services?
I don't know.
In other words, is it too early to write the obituary and the epitaph for Arrowhead Ranch?
If the state were willing to increase the dollar amount we get per kid per day, there is that possibility. You have to balance that with the wishes of our board of directors, because of the severity of the kids and the damage they're doing to the property, inside, outside, and even when these kids decide to run away and they steal a car. That's something that we have to consider, whether we've outlived our usefulness, because these kids are severe and we have such a difficult time getting through to them, versus, yeah, let's keep trying. And I'll tell you, we have some great kids that are severe, that we are making changes in the way they act, behave, and respond. We had several kids when we broke the news to them in the large group setting, just started crying because they're upset that they're making progress and they don't want to go back to where they were at before. One of the youth that was visibly upset, we were helping him get rid of his gang tattoos. We were helping him get his GED. And he made the comment in the meeting that no one has ever tried to help him before. We're the first ones who truly care. Well, whether that's true or not, that's just how he felt at that time. We have another youth who has no place to go. He just turned 18. The step family did not work out. The foster family did not work out. So we were working on independent living skills for that young man. We helped him get a job. He actually has a job here in town, which I don't know how that's going to work if we're not here for him, because I'm sure the amount of money that he's going to need for rent and food and everything else, I don't think he's able to do that on his own.
Well, and in the years that you've been with it, and in the decades that it's been around, you have success stories left and right. I mean, you must see that
numerous.
When you're walking the streets, that you run into certain kids that are much more, they're adults now. I mean, it's left an imprint on your life as well.
I was at a local store wearing my Arrowhead shirt one day. This has been a year or two ago. And the manager says, "You're from Arrowhead?" I said, "Yes." He said, "I just want you to know I was there when I was a teenager. If it wasn't for Arrowhead, I wouldn't be here today." A few summers ago, I had two gentlemen in their 50s already. One was from North Carolina. One was somewhere out west. They came to the Quad Cities, whether it's family or whatever reason, but they got together at the same time. They stayed in touch, and they wanted to meet at Arrowhead to walk the grounds. And so we gave them a tour of the Arrowhead. But they told us that it wasn't for Arrowhead. They'd either be dead or in jail. But because of them, because of Arrowhead, they were able to get a good job and become a better husband for their wives and a better father for their children. I just spoke to somebody on the phone the other day at a building service that we have, and I told her who I was, and she started chuckling. She said, "I just want to thank you for the better husband you gave me." Then she went on to explain to me that her husband was at Arrowhead when he was a teenager and how he gives credit to Arrowhead for turning his life around. So she thanked me for giving her a better husband. So, and that's just a few. There, we get calls all the time from boys that want to talk to our behavioral health specialists who were there when they were here, or just talk to somebody from Arrowhead to tell us about how we changed their lives.
And some people in the nonprofit community certainly know about Arrowhead. I mean, mm-hmm. You think back a few years ago with the John Deere Classic that your kids would be there, usually helping empty garbage cans or just doing
Send
some work.
Send up fences, get garbage, yes.
There were people that were at BIX, of course, and other
communities. Almost every run.
And so many other events. The loss of Arrowhead also means a loss of some community involvement as well.
Correct.
That some people may not recognize.
I first got involved with Arrowhead when I was the president of Viva Quad Cities Fiesta back in the early 2000s, working for Western Illinois University. And the kids would come out, they were very professional, always walked in a straight line, yes sir, no sir. And we could count on them. But those are kids that were mild or moderate. With the severe kids, we don't want to risk taking kids who have mental health issues in the community and running away from the leader and doing something that they shouldn't be doing. And that's where we were at 2 years ago when we finally decided we were not able to do this. We have to base this on which kids can go. We can't just take a group of boys. We have to handpick who can go. It's been difficult.
I know that police organizations and agencies, they run into the same adults all the time. They run into the same kids all the time,
yes,
as well. I mean, is this going to be a big loss for policing, I guess, if you understand what I'm saying, is that this was a way to treat kids without incarceration.
I believe it's a loss for not just police, but for the schools who would get kids who were better behaved back in the classroom, for the community. These kids aren't out there causing trouble. So it's really is a full array of people that are not going to benefit from the boys getting that type of treatment that we're able to provide.
What kind of children did you see? I mean, was it oftentimes issues of broken families? Was it poverty? Was it drugs?
It was all.
I was going to say.
It was all.
Yeah.
The potpourri. So, and some kids just had bad attitudes. They refused to listen to their parents, refused to listen to school, refused to listen to anybody.
And what was it that made Arrowhead Ranch successful? Because you're talking about the counselors.
Sure.
You're talking about the one-on-one.
Yes.
And actually, in some cases, I think you were insinuating that Arrowhead almost became a family where they had none.
Correct. It is. I mean, we have kids who start calling some of our staff mom or dad. We had one kid who had a meltdown about 2 months ago, and the staff that's trying to help him, I have to give him so much credit. Because his name, Harry Cribbs, he was being verbally abused by this kid, saying, "I hate you and I wish you'd die, blah, blah." And Mr. Cribbs kept talking to him in a calm voice, calm manner, until he was able to get him calmed down. The kid went back later that day and said, "Mr. Cribbs, you know, I didn't mean anything I said. I was just mad." He goes, "Yeah, I know. Sorry, staff doesn't hold that against the kids." So I made sure I went over to Mr. Cribbs later on and said, "Don't worry, Mr. Cribbs, I love you." He just started laughing because the kid said, "Nobody loves you. You're unlovable." So that was kind of our jump in.
It's good to help out,
yes,
there, I would think. You've been talking about some of the short-term ramifications and that,
yes,
you're not quite sure what's going to happen with some of the kids in the short term. Let's talk about the long term. Because as we were saying, I mean, the need is there.
Yes.
Closing a facility like Arrowhead, there must be other facilities that are also somewhat nervous about their future as well. I mean, are we eliminating a safety net for society?
You are. Roxy Muscarelli, one more time, I remember her name. Roxy Muscavelli is one of our employees who's been there for 48 years, and she talks about the list that she has to work with because she is one of our program administrative assistants. And what she does is communicates with other schools, records, and intake for our boys. And what she told me the other day was that she used to have two full sheets of agencies that were in Illinois. She said over time, it got down to one sheet. She said, and here lately, you barely have a page of agencies that will treat our boys. So you lost a page and a half of agencies that can no longer take kids on a residential basis. It's, I believe there's six or seven in the state that's still available versus a lot more that we used to have. And they're spread out so in between. So for Illinois, our county kids, they'll be traveling a distance. If there's a bed available, they might end up down South Illinois. So they might end up down Southern Illinois because that's where the bed's available. So it's gonna be difficult for the families to be able to visit them on weekends or special occasions like their birthdays or holidays.
And fewer beds available, like you said, first off, you need a bed available. So so the alternative is?
There is no alternative. There's no bed, there's no place for them to go. Unless, because even with the Safety Act, the same kids are not being incarcerated. They're given a summons to appear and let go. So
they remain on their own and,
correct.
What do you see for the future as far as continuing operations for a group like Arrowhead Ranch?
The state has to change its rate. The money that facilities like us are paid does not cover our cost to run the organization. The ratio that we have to have with kids who are severe, the number of therapists that we have to have. We used to only have two therapists who work, make sure that they were there 7 days a week. But because of how often they need to see therapists, we need to cover our bases and have at least two or three therapists a day on certain days, and weekends, two therapists, just in case you need more than one to handle a crisis. But even, they're not just sitting around waiting for a crisis to happen. They have appointments with the kids during the weekend, so it's not like they're just waiting around, twiddling their thumbs, waiting for an emergency to happen. They're bringing the boys in for appointments. Weekends are family days. They're doing family therapy. Families come in, they're doing family therapy. They're doing family therapies on the phone if families can't come in. Talk to the parents, how can we help you? What are some of the issues that you saw in your child? How can we help?
What kind of loss do you think it's gonna have to the community?
Immediately, you're looking at 83 people without a job. The spending power that we have. The good part is that it's a very talented pool. I would put our employees over many organizations to be able to handle the constant crisis that we are in at times, or the verbal and sometimes physical abuse that our staff takes and bounces back without holding it against the kids. That is a tremendous workforce that we may be losing, as some might have to find jobs elsewhere. But our staff are fantastic with the boys. They care. If they didn't care, they wouldn't be there. They wouldn't put up with it. I've had staff that were there for a month or two, new staff, and decided this isn't for them. Like, we had some staff that didn't make it through orientation because they realized this wasn't for them.
Our thanks to Arrowhead Ranch Executive Director, Dr. Louis Moreno. The Mississippi River has been the source of music for hundreds of years, and let's be honest, it still is. Musician David G. Smith recently joined us to share one of his original songs. So here's David with Listen to the River.
My wife is sitting right off camera here. That is an anniversary gift from my wife, and now I like to tell it that we were out looking for sewing machines. It's true, we were looking for sewing machines, but we walked by this music store first. And she saw that guitar sitting in the window, and she said, "What's that?" And 2 hours later, we walked out with it. She bought it for me. Anniversary gift.
A blue jay was a friend of mine. He used to sing to me all the time. There was his reputation, but then again, he used to sing to me and I'd sing to him. Well, I'm down here by the river, I sit beneath a tree. I'm gonna listen to the river, the river gonna talk to me. Summer wind was a friend of mine. addiction to the mountain pine. Used the sand with soothing rain. Now it's flooding hurricane. Well, I'm down here by the river, sitting beneath the tree. I'm gonna listen to the river. Mother Earth was a friendly face, with a fertile beauty and a patient ways. I throw a seed from a burlap sack, you know I gave to her and she gave back. Well, I'm down here by the river.
I wrote that song, goodness, a long time ago. I don't want to date myself. Many years ago. It's about our environment, kind of some of the things that maybe it was just a prescient moment I had when I wrote it, you know, again, 20, 30 years ago, about what's going on these days. And so it's, you know, to keep it short, it's just, it's about environment and it's about, I guess, climate change and some of those things.
Well, I'm down here by the river. Sitting beneath the tree, I'm listening to the river. The river gonna talk to me. Well, I'm down here by the river, sitting beneath the tree. I'm gonna listen to the river, but the river won't talk. The river won't talk.
David G. Smith with Listen to the River. On the air, on the radio, on the web, on your mobile device, and streaming on your computer, thanks for taking some time to join us as we talk about the issues on the cities.
Presley and Van Hull Funeral Homes have been serving Quad City families and veterans for over 100 years. Whelan Presley is located in Rock Island, Milan, Reynolds, and Van Hull in East Moline, proudly supporting WQPT.